releasing the stress. We were born to shine.
You're now tuned in to the Sade Champagne Show. with the cast. Christina Renee, Rick and Melissa Wood, Lisa Lee, Veronica Escobar Winner, Ariana Carde, and Ayakule Falama. Celebrity guest interviews, segments on health, wellness, creativity, entrepreneurship, spirituality, hot topics, and more. You're now tuned in to the Sade Champagne Show.
Good evening, everyone. That was Tamar Braxton with Coming Home. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 24 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. We are back with a ton of brand new episodes and two new castmates, Ariana Carde and Ayakunle Falama. Ariana hosts our Supermodel and You segment, and Ayakunle hosts our Sharing Your Story segment. Every episode is available on iTunes. Search the Sade Champagne Show, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. Thanks to everyone for tuning in all around the globe. All the episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram pages so you can tune in at any time. Thank you to Travis Miller for creating and producing my show's theme song and to Scott Swish for mixing it. If this is your first time listening, I'm a professional musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur. I have created, directed, and executive produced over 200 charitable and inspirational events, including my popular Power of Dream tour. I love mentoring, coaching, authentically being myself, and using my platform to encourage, empower, and bring out the gold in others. Tonight's special guests include popular, established menswear enthusiast and influencer Jay Figg. He was recognized by GQ magazine as one of the top 10 West Coast menswear influencers. Professional dancer, performer, and studio owner Kalila Nelson is being featured for our brand new Entrepreneurs on the Move segment. She'll be sharing about her thriving company KPAC, also known as Kyla's Performing Arts Center in Ventura. Also tonight, we have a brand new Say What segment and What's Going On with Christina Renee segment, featuring special guest, original cast member of Grindhard Radio, Jit Chronicles, on our panel. I want to congratulate all the students who are starting school right now. You guys have done it. You know, I know summer was long, but it also seemed super fast. I'm with my students again at Ventura High School with my Superstars in Training Mentoring Program and my Royal Teen Girls Mentoring Program, and we're having a blast already in this first week, and I'm excited about what this new year holds for us. I have tons of tour dates and fun things coming up, lots of performances. As you guys know, I recently sang the national anthem at Chuck Chansey Park Stadium for the Fresno Grizzlies to support Grizzly Youth Academy. That was super fun, and so I'm very thankful for all of these opportunities that are coming my way and everything that's in store. My Power of Dream Tour is always booking new shows and performances. This fall, we're going to be in San Luis Obispo, Ventura, Oxnard, Orange County, Fresno, and more. We love traveling, and if you're looking to bring Power of Dream Tour, any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. Once again, that's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see our full schedule. Just look under events. Lastly, thank you to everyone who you guys watch, share, and subscribe to all my new videos. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs, and I'm going into the recording studio soon to record my first ever EP. And to find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out GoFundMe.com/Sade Champagne Music. Once again, that's GoFundMe.com/Sade Champagne Music. I am live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and we want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, that's SadeChampagne. Facebook me at Sade Champagne. Instagram, I am Sade Champagne, or hashtag Sade Champagne Show, or GHR, to join in the conversation. You have no idea when we'll be sharing your comments and thoughts throughout the show live on air. And shout out to everyone who always tweets me. You guys Facebook me, Instagram, call in, YouTube, email me. Your support is such a blessing and joy to my life. So now it's time for our first special guest of the evening. Jay Figg is an established menswear enthusiast and influencer based out of Los Angeles. What started as a passionate hobby in 2013 has now led him to produce content for various brands through numerous collaborations. He was recognized by GQ Magazine, that's right, GQ Magazine, as one of the top 10 West Coast menswear influencers. Jay Fig has made his presence known throughout all of social media with his style, which he describes as West Coast laid-back modern classic 9-to-5 man. While holding a special place for timeless and classic style, he recognizes and incorporates current trends in fashion while predicting future trends as well. While being a menswear influencer is his passion, he has a very distinct approach to clothing, as he strongly believes that every man is dressed his best when he is confident in the clothes he is in. This belief stems from an ongoing transformational story and strong drive to be an inspirational and motivational speaker. His goal is to promote the importance of outer physical appearance in relation to the inner self. And I have to tell you guys, he's such a beautiful soul, and I had the pleasure of meeting him recently at a networking mixer of our mutual friend and recent guest here, Nathan Martell, who's been on my show. And so I want you guys to welcome Jay Fig of Rule of Thumbs Fashion. Jay Fig, how are you doing?
Hey, how are you? Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. We are so glad to have you on the Sade Champagne Show for episode 24 of season 2.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, and as I was telling our listeners, I really connected with you, and I just think, you know, even more so than how you look on the outside and what you wear, I feel like it's simply an overflow of your beautiful heart and your spirit.
Well, thank you. It means a lot to me. That's actually something that's very close and dear to me. So, you know, it's all about how we present ourselves, yeah, of course, in a more exterior format when we are headed into our day-to-day lives, but the beauty and the importance of it coming from within and from an authentic place, and I know that you're very strongly, you strongly feel and believe in that, and so I feel like that's what we instantly connected on, is that drive to come from an authentic self-loving place. And that's really where it comes from me.
Mm-hmm, definitely. So when did your interest first spark in fashion?
Well, you know, I mean, growing up, I mean, I love clothes. I mean, clothes is a great way to express yourself. And when I decided to turn it into a something that was more than just my passion, it was 2013. You know, 4th of July, I kind of was like, you know what, I had this idea. I was like, I'm following all these guys. Instagram was like young and new and it was fresh. And I'm like, you know, I'm like focusing on these things and following followers there. And I'm like, you know, I know that I can do this myself. Why not give it a shot? So then I started and then haven't looked back. Just constant growing from then.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so what and who inspires your style?
So for me, I'm very much in love with my city, Los Angeles, born and raised. So for me, a lot of it has to do with being from the West Coast. I'm very driven by the West Coast style, but I'm also driven by the gentleman, the dapper guy, your madman type dude, that can appreciate classic pieces of clothes and still has a special place to dress up. You know, I think that a lot of men have lost that need or feel to dress up, and I think that's what drives me. You know, people that inspire me, I mean, God, I can't even begin to like give you a list of people, but like, I mean, celebrities always get styled amazingly. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Ryan Gosling's style. He's very clean always and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
Still with a modern
mm-hmm.
edge, but clean. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And tell us about your popular Rule of Thumbs fashion blog and how that came about and how you became a blogger in the first place.
Yeah. So going back to what I was saying, so it started as a hobby in 2013. I was, you know, hanging out one day, 4th of July, and I was like, you know, I'm going to start this Instagram page and I'm not going to, you know, worry about anything. I just decided it was going to be a hobby. You know, it was going to be somewhere for me to showcase what I find to be a trend or what I find to be
mm-hmm.
a great thing to put together. And from there, I continued to just be – the key was being consistent and keeping it very consistent and passionate. I'm not losing that instant drive that makes you want to do something. And then from
mm-hmm.
there, I, you know, then I – I started growing, and then GQ reached out maybe 8-9 months in, and you know, we had, you know, a meeting of sorts and events, and I mean, you know, networking events and whatnot. And so then they hosted a dinner, and from there, I just kind of knew at this point, at that point, I knew that it was no turning back from that. So,
Wow. And that's so cool, because you definitely just went into my next question about GQ magazine, you know, and how they found out about you. So it was through your social media and the growth that was happening on there and the content that you put out.
Yes. So, and I want to read, and I can't say this enough, is when you start things with a passion and you're passionate about something and not worried about numbers or likes or what if people like it, what if people don't like it, you know, and just a sense of viewing, and then your worries are less likely to be felt, and then you just end up having this confidence about it, and then it just kind of takes off. So through there, I had no expectations at this. I just went in it and I said, you know what, let's have some fun. Let's do something that I like. And then, you know, from there, I was like, well, I can't stop now, you know. At this point, I'm like, when you have a company like GQ reaching out, that's pretty big, you know?
Yeah, that's huge. You know, that's so amazing. And I think, you know, there's so many good nuggets that you shared. You know, I love when you were talking about not focusing in on the numbers, but doing what, you know, doing it for the passion and from the passion. You know, that's, I think that's huge, because, you know, with the day and age that we're in with technology and social media, everyone, we always think first about the numbers. And so then don't you feel that oftentimes either dries up people's passion or their enthusiasm for something, or it either, you know, we come in with a hidden agenda as opposed to, like you said, doing it solely for the fact that you love it and for the impact that you want to share with others?
Yes, that's definitely, I mean, that's definitely a huge component, if not the major component, about doing anything per se. But anyone that wants to dive into social media and that will ask me, how did you start or whatnot, I just said, I really don't have a start, except my passion to do something that I love and continue doing it. And you know, and then the greatness will come from that. I mean, because I can't, like I said, it translates in your images. People gravitate to it. People feel it. And so then it just becomes an instant self-fulfilling thing. And then people recognize that. So it's a matter of, you know, it's a matter of just diving in with no fear.
That's huge. I definitely agree with that. And so you talk about in your bio, you know, and when we were chatting as well, that you've been through, that you have a transformative story and that you're continuing to be in transformation every day. Share with our listeners what that means to you and what your transformation has been like. You can share as much or as little as you want.
Yeah, no, actually, this is a story that, you know, I share often. And the thing about it is before I jumped into you know, being a fashion influencer, a menswear influencer, or enthusiast or whatever they call it these days, I, you know, my story started off as a kid in high school, overweight. I was an overweight child, you know, and from there I decided to take control of my life. At the age of 21, I decided I was going to lose 21 pounds before my 21st birthday, which would have brought me down numerous amounts. And then from there, I kept that up. I lost the weight and kept at it. And I guess what one thing is about me is I'm very consistent when it comes to doing something that I want to accomplish in my life. And so from there, I went on into the gym and continued working out. And then the confidence just came with it, you know, and I'm still working on it. And why I say that I'm a piece of work and transformation is because the work is never done. You're never a complete person. There's always room for growth. So, you know, after I lost the weight, I found this new sense of confidence, and then I started relating that to my style. And, you know, I actually have one of my mentors is actually a former boss of mine, and she once told me, you know, your exterior is the first thing people see. Respect it. You know what I mean? And you carry yourself in a way that when you dress up and show up, you don't even have to say a word and people will treat you differently. And there's a lot of truth to that. You know, there's a lot of truth to having interior confidence is important, but feeling confident in the exterior and dressing that you know you're meant to dress up as. You know, being that confident boss, being that confident CEO, being that confident employee, like, you know, person that's just going to walk in there with confidence, but knows that it's in a way that it's going to make an impression, you know?
Definitely. I feel like, Phil, one of the things that's different about you and what you project is I don't feel like you're trying, so hard. Even though obviously there is a bit of effort because we're all putting forth effort into, you know, to transform or see what we desire. I don't feel like you're trying hard. I feel like it's an overflow of who you are, which I feel is the difference and what you, you know, desire to do is you desire, like you said, to bring the inner and the outward together, as opposed to we do have a lot of people where they do all the great things on the outside, but they're still tormented and troubled on the inside. Or then you have people that don't do anything on the outside, and that's usually a reflection of how they feel about themselves on the inside, you know.
Right. And you have to believe it. I mean, you have to believe that what you're doing is what you're doing is what you want to do. When people don't believe it, and like you going back to what you said about trying, it does come off as forced or as contrived, or
right,
it doesn't read well. You know, it just doesn't read well. And when you don't have that, then nothing you can do will get you out of that. You know, like when it's contrived and it's like forced, you're not enjoying it, then what makes you think others will? You know, and then there's a difference between admiring and respecting and drawing attention, you know, drawing ideas from and even a form of imitation. Because I will say, I mean, in this field, you have to be consistently looking at things and, you know, keeping up to date with what's going on and everything that's trending and whatnot. But it's not about wearing the exact same thing off the runway or off the wherever, off the store window. It's about making it your own and owning it. You know, even if it means that it looks exactly like it does on the store window, then by all means. But if it's not, you know, you give your twist to it. And I think that's the confidence that I portray and that you see is that because what I wear, I'm confident in wearing it. You know, and I can tell you why I'm wearing what I'm wearing, and whether you choose to agree or not, you know, that's up to you to interpret, you know?
Definitely. So tell us about a time when you wanted to quit, and how did you overcome that moment?
Well, those moments happen about every other day, but because, you know, before I answer your question, I do want to say, you have to treat it, even if it is your passion, it becomes your work, you know. And what I mean by work, it's not like something you're being like forced to do. It's your work is your piece of work, like your masterwork, your masterpiece, your piece of art. You know, pay it, like focus in on it and really treat it the way you would want to, you know, treat anything that is important in your life. But to answer your question, the quitting part, you know, there's many times where you're just like, is this worth it? Is my life, you know, questions come in, you know, like, can I live off of this? Can I, you know, how will I do this? What happens if this is gone? So like a question that always comes up for me is like, what happens when Instagram is done or when blogs are done or when Snapchat or anything that's trending on social media goes? And it's like those questions make you want to consider what you're doing. Quitting firsthand, I mean, it's just the constraints on time make you just want to give up sometimes. But that's the only time that I've ever really felt. I'm not a quitter just to quit on things. Like, I don't know if that's, like, I can explain that any other way, but quitting for me is not necessarily in my vocab. It's just more of like, I just lose interest. And maybe that's the quitting part. Whenever I lose interest.
I like what you said too. Like you said, you might go through these thoughts, you know, or these challenges even every other day of feeling like, oh, can I keep moving forward in this, or like you said, these different thoughts. But what comes out of that is you still keep going. You know, like it's okay for people to have those thoughts or go through that where they feel like, man, like you said, what's going to happen about this? Or you have these different things that are coming across your mind or even challenges that come your way, but you still keep going.
Well, yeah, and because those thoughts that come into your mind are that. They're just thoughts, and they're human thoughts. And so I rationalize them like this. Those thoughts are meant to challenge you. They come up for you to rethink, to relook at, to focus in again on what it is that you're passionate about. For me, every time that I have a doubtful moment, I take myself back to why I started this and remind myself that, A, it's going to be okay, and B, I'm doing pretty well, and C, I'm going to continue doing it, you know? So that's there's this idea that because of whatever you may do, that there should be money equated to it, and sometimes the money isn't there, but you're just passionate about it. So those things come on their own, and that's how I feel about it.
That's really good. And so, how do you stay confident while working in industries that have been known to tear people down?
I think there's a difference between, it's crazy because we have this conversation often, and there's a difference between menswear and women influencers, and that's not necessarily it has nothing to do with the sex factor of it. It's just that in menswear, it's not as busy as it is in women's wear, so the menswear field is still, even though it may feel very saturated at this point, there's still lots of room for growth, and just to keep pushing through, you know? So I guess it is very cutthroat, but at the same time, you pave your own lane and you pave your own, I say a lot of cliche things, I feel, but like, just stay in your own lane, you know? Like, if you start focusing on other people's lane and you start focusing on what so-and-so is doing and how big so-and-so got, and oh gosh, they started a year ago and now they're 10 times bigger than me, because it does happen, you know, those things do happen, and power to them. And that's how I feel. Give respect to where respect is due, and you will get respect back. And so then I just stay in my own lane is what I always tell myself, and I remind myself, and from there, I'm good to go.
Definitely. And you're not saying cliche things. You're saying truth.
Yeah.
You're saying truth. So who has been your favorite client to work with so far?
Oh, gosh. I don't know that I can disclose that. I mean, I don't want to burn any bridges. But, I mean,
Or you can tell us about one of the experiences without naming a person or a brand that
enjoyed. One of the coolest. Actually, I will say this. What I appreciate more and what I appreciate about my passion the most is that I get to make lifelong friends, and I get to make relationships, and I form bonds with people that are like-minded individuals that make you want to, that not make you, but they just have this drive about them that only makes you want to be a better person or become the better this version of yourself. And so my personal experience, I have a really close friend, runs a very successful line. I won't say of what, but I actually met him, on a friend-to-friend level, conversating, and, conversations struck up and ideas came up. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. Like, having that relationship with someone and meeting people, when I meet with brands and I can have a connection with them, heart-to-heart connection, that's more important to me than anything else. I think that's the beauty of it. And I've yet to meet anyone I've yet to meet anyone that's kind of left a sour taste in my mouth. I'm like, oh, that's kind of not what I expected. You know, like, most people are fairly nice, and that's the beauty of it. And then also a lot of the guys in my that are in the same field or whatever you want to call it, doing the same thing, do become my friends. You know, like, my closest mentor is a very, he in his own right and is very successful in mentor as well. And so that's kind of what the beauty is for me. I'm not like driven by the brand name. I'm just more driven by the the people behind it.
Right, right, definitely.
Yeah.
What is the biggest misconception that people have about you?
About me?
Yeah.
It can either be about you or your passion. That's pretty tough. I mean, I guess in what I do, I guess a lot of people, how do I say this? In what my field is, a lot of people put you in boxes. So they your style becomes very distinct. And I'm not saying that my style isn't very, you know, distinct and has its own, you know, cliche or not cliche, you know, market or niche, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm capable of doing so much more, you know? It's like, I'm like, mm-hmm. I can do that, you know? Like, I'm like, give me that, I can do that. So, like, I mean, mm-hmm. I mean, maybe it's not a misconception, but it's that. It's like, when you get set into certain niches, like, you're in these, mm-hmm. like, cutter-type boxes, and I guess that would be one. And
mm-hmm.
another one, I mean, I guess a lot of people would think that I live this, like, cool life, but it's not. I mean, it is fun. It's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm blessed every day, but...
Mm-hmm.
There's work that goes into it, you know. There's
mm-hmm.
I work to get to where I'm at, and it's a beautiful work. And so,
mm-hmm.
I guess that mm-hmm. would be a misconception. People think that it's just gonna magically happen for you, but it's not gonna happen unless you put in the work.
Right. It's like my friend Lita Lewis, and she's a very, very popular like fitness celebrity and trainer and inspirational speaker. Mm-hmm. And when I was chatting with her on the season premiere, she's like, you know, that people always think that her life is so fun and so adventurous. And she's like, obviously, like you said, she's doing what she loves and she's passionate. She goes, but there's a lot of stuff in it that's really boring, too. She's like, I spend a lot of time, you know, doing emails and things like that. And she goes, and there are certain parts of my schedule that would seem very mundane to people
yeah.
that are not passionate about it, you know. And so, and I think you're right about that, because people will see anyone that's in either the, any type of limelight or type of platform that we have, and they think that our lives are very adventurous and we're always being whisked away in all these types of things.
Right. Yeah, people only see what they see on social media, which is great,
yeah.
but it's only one piece of the of the pie. I mean, it's a very small sliver of what it actually takes to you know, do all those great things. And
yeah.
I also, you know, and like your friend, I mean, I'm sure the same way, where as normal as they come, I don't ever consider myself not a normal person. I, you know, I
mm-hmm.
work out, I go home, I cook my own meal, I, you know, whatever. I do my own laundry. Like, I don't dry clean everything, you know? Like,
yeah.
There's no room for dry cleaning, you know? Like, I can be messy. I can, you know, I don't have my life together, you know? So,
right.
My car can be messy. So, yeah. So, it's these misconceptions of our lives being so well put. But it's like, you know, we're at the end of the day, we're human. And most Saturdays or Sundays, you'll find me hanging out with my nephew, you know, in my PJs or something.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. So
yeah.
Tell us about your current projects that you can share or what you're currently working on.
Actually, you know, I mean, that's a good to bring up. My next thing is I want to relate it, and it's something that I'm very passionate about, is relating the confidence, and is why I started this, is to show young guys that are in their 20s that what the effects of dressing up does for one's peace of mind, one's soul, one's inner self, one's success story. Because I can tell you this, and this is by experience, where my life is now took a lot of work on the exterior, but it comes from within. You know, and I think for me, that's what I want to relate it to, like, you know, teaching and showing younger, you know, kids out of high school how to properly dress for their first interview. Like, that, those are the things that drive me. Like, when I get emails from people that, like, certain, you know, guys that tell me, your page inspired me, or your page inspires me, or I love your page, or whatever, it's like, or, like, I use your page as a, you know, way to look at what to wear, or, you know, that inspires me, and that's what inspires me. So I guess for me, my next step is to tie it into this motivational aspect of it all. You know, for me, I want to feel like what I do has a purpose. And for me, my purpose is to help, to support and growth, you know, and one self growth. And that's my next project is that is, you know, relating it to that inner growth that a lot of takes a lot, you know, takes, I mean, that's the, I think that's the major component to everything is finding that confidence from within and going from there. And so in a more like literal aspect, I mean, my page is constantly growing. You know, I have great collaborations in the work. I want to start hosting more events where, you know, people can come and hang out. I want to do style clinics, you know, where guys can come in and teach them certain ways on how to dress. And that's kind of my next venture.
I totally see you doing all those things. You know, we talked about that when we met.
Yeah.
You know, I see you're going to be doing all types of inspirational, motivational speaking, you know, being able to lead and encourage on a grand platform, you know, and being able to help inspire and empower so many young men, you know, and not only young men, I believe young women as well, too, you know. So I'm excited for you for what's in store. I look forward to us partnering together more, you know, because I'm working on some upcoming workshops that I'm going to be doing, like fashion and mentoring. And so I definitely want to have that, collaborate for that.
That would be amazing. I mean, that's constantly, like, I feel like our meeting was, like, almost, like, as some type of intervention from the world saying, here, it's in your lap. Like, this is what you want.
Yeah.
Take it, you know? And for me, it's beautiful to come on your show to talk about these type of things because it's something that's very important and close and dear to me, and I can tell that it's very important and close and dear to you. So, and hearing you speak about empowerment and inspiration and motivation, I mean, that's what I strive to do. And I'm only excited to see what our future holds because I'm sure we'll do something together more and more as time progresses.
Definitely. And shout out to Nathan Martell for connecting me and Jay Fig. You are so awesome, and we're very thankful to you. And so as we wrap up our time together on the show, I could talk to you for so much longer, and we will be having more chats soon, some on air and some not on air, everyone. And so where can people follow you to stay updated with your career?
I'm sorry, miss. I couldn't hear you on that one. What did you say?
It's okay. I was saying as we wrap up our time together, where can people follow you and stay updated with your career and happiness?
Great. Yeah. You want me to plug myself at this point? No,
that's right.
Right. No, you know, I'm on Instagram, rule_of_thumbs. I'm on Snapchat. My Snapchat's on there. My Instagram story's live. I'm constantly posting on my website, which is theruleofthumbs.com. All one word, theruleofthumbs.com, which we're consistently trying to update. Those are my handles. So please check me out. Send me an email. Anyone is welcome to email me, r.of.thumbs@gmail.com. Send me an email. Any questions that anyone may have, I'd love to answer your questions. That's actually my favorite thing to do is, like, getting emails from people that want me to give them some type of advice or want to share a story or something. I appreciate that. So that's it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Jay Fig. We will be in touch very soon, everyone. Next up, we have Jason Aldean with Burning It Down. Keep listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio.
Let's light it up like it's our last night. We're just hanging around, burning it down, sipping on some cold Jack Daniels, jamming to some old Alabama with your baby laying right here, naked in my bed. I'm just doing my thing. You love it when I sing. Say it makes you feel like an angel. We about to get a little tangled up. like it's our last chance. We just hanging around, burning it down, sipping on some cool Jack Daniels, jamming to some old Alabama with your baby laying right here, dreaming in my bed. I'm just doing my thing. You love it when I sing, say it makes you feel like an angel. We about to get a little tangled up right about now.
If you are interested in maintaining good health, then you need to take Juice Plus. Juice Plus is raw, vine-ripened fruits and veggies in a capsule or gummy. Think of it as a salad bar and a capsule. Juice Plus is the most thoroughly researched nutritional brand name product on the planet, and that is why so many health professionals around the world recommend it to everyone. Juice Plus is a natural and wonderful way to get thousands of phytonutrients into our bodies every day. We need more fruits and vegetables. We can't get enough. We don't eat variety. We don't consistently eat 7 to 13 servings a day, and this is an easy and convenient way to bridge the gap. It really doesn't get any simpler to get healthy. It is absolutely doable and affordable, and children can get it for free with the Juice Plus Company's Children's Health Study. Children who take Juice Plus are more aware of their health, they eat more fruits and veggies, they are drinking more water, and they do better in the classroom and on the athletic field. The Juice Plus company is truly committed to inspiring healthy living around the world. If you need more fruits and veggies every day, which we all do, please contact our healthy living ambassador, Raquel Pimentel, at 408-650-4717. Once again, that's 408-650-4717.
Beautiful people. See, this is why I don't sing on the show. Hey guys, this is Christina Renee from the What's Going On segment on the Sade Champagne Show, and you're listening to Grindhard Radio.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Right now, we're getting ready for What's Going On with Christina Renee. So tonight on the panel, we have her multi-threat artist, host, producer, model, and designer, Christina Renee. She actually leads this segment, and special guest who's back again with us, Jit Chronicles, who is the only original member of Grindhard Radio Network. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good. How are
Great.
You, Sade?
Hey, Sade. How you doing, Miss Christina?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Jit?
I am great. Always good to hear from you, lady.
Awesome.
Likewise.
This show has already been so great. I had a fun time with Jay Fig, and now I'm ready to get into these hot topics. Christina,
That's
what
true.
Do you have for us tonight? What's the first topic?
Well, the first topic is actually something that has really been bothering me lately just because of the images that I see popping up on social media and newspapers and kind of everywhere is the war that's going on in Syria. And I would first like to kind of go over the background, like why is the war going on in Syria? Because a lot of people don't know. They don't know how it started, and they kind of don't know the background of what started it all. And then I'd like to move forward into the UN finally getting access for the chemical attack that occurred over there in 2013. Mm-hmm. They finally have come to a conclusion that they do believe that it was ISIS and also the Syrian government. But as you know, this has been going on since around 2007-ish and since then in Syria. But the civil war over there began when the people wasn't agreeing with their government. And their government right mm-hmm. now is being led by the Assad family. And the Assad family are Alawites, which means they're not extremely religious Islamists. So they're not arguing about extreme religious issues. The problem with the people in their government is the Assad family has failed their long-promised economic political reforms. And so the people kind of want their government to step up and be there for the people, which they haven't been doing. So back in 2011, there was some children that was arrested there for doing anti-regime graffiti. And some of the children were detained and some of them were killed while in detention.
God.
And these are children ranging from like 10 to 16 years old. So they are small children. Mm-hmm. And the problem that the people had with the government is they failed to even punish the perpetrators. So that started the people to start doing the rallies and demonstrations. And through the demonstrations, the Syrian army started firing on the demonstrators. And that's when it became a full-out blowout between like an armed rebellion people and the Assad family and, you know, their militia. And since then, because ISIS sees what's going on, like, oh, the people are rebelling against our government, why don't we join forces? So now ISIS has kind of slipped in their little cracks and decided to kind of be there to help the people, but they have their own agenda. They're not really there to help reform the government. They want to take it over. So now mm-hmm. you had, you know, the kind of good guys against bad guys, and now it's the good guys mixed up with the bad guys, can't get away from the bad guys that's out for the other bad guys. And it's like this huge disaster. Moving forward in 2013, there was several hundreds of chemical attacks ranging from different kinds of chemicals all the way to mustard gas. And the UN actually recently went in to try to see if it was caused by the Syrian government, the Assad family, because if it has, they have broken their ties with the UN, which is sending France into this whirlwind of like, oh, we're going to go in and we're going to militarize your country because this is enough. You can't have the government, you know, throwing chemical attacks and teaming up with militant forces, you know, ISIS, to destroy your country. So this is a big finding with the UN going in there because the UN, us being a part of the UN, they're going to try to drag us into it as well, which even makes me go even further flash forward to currently between all the military strikes between, you know, the Syrian government and then the rebellious, quote, group. You know, they're hitting too close to one of our military bases in Syria, and, you know, the chief commander over there was telling the Syrian government, you are too close bombing to our base. You get any closer, we're going to bomb you. So that can start a war between the United States and Syria. So it's a lot
wow.
going on over there. It's a lot mm-hmm. going on over there. And it's
so how do you want to discuss it? So what do you want to go into with discussing this, Christina, with the information you've given us?
I just feel like there's a lot of people against taking in refugees. And mm-hmm. as we all have seen with, you know, the little boy who washed up in shore, you know, washed up on the shore trying to get away from it with his father. And now we have this other picture of a little boy, you know, after one of the bombings, and his neighborhood, and, you know, his brother died. It's really sad that we are seeing, you know, negligence to the young people there, and surrounding countries, and even people here in the United States. They don't want the refugees coming there because they're not Christian, or they're not Buddhist, or they're not Muslim. Mm-hmm. It's because they're Islam. And I just mm-hmm. wanted to, you know, see if, you know, where do you guys think that these refugees should go? Because they can't keep staying there. They're going to wipe everybody out.
They can't, mm-hmm. not at all.
Mm-hmm. I just kind of wanted to see what you guys, what might be a possibility? Like, what are some ideas that are, you know, that we can kind of throw out there to the people and people that we know, so we can kind of push everybody on the same page, like why mm-hmm. this is going on and why there are refugees. It's not people trying to flee their country for, you know, to upgrade
just
their car,
yeah.
something like that. You know,
yeah, they're doing it for a
reason.
Out
of harm's way.
They fight
yes.
for their
yeah.
lives.
Yes.
I just wanted to say this.
Yes.
My manager has family from Syria, and they are over
wow.
here. You know, and I will tell you this. What I've seen, they are so happy to be free, you know, to not have nobody controlling everything that they do. You understand what I'm saying? So I
yeah.
say let them come over, you know, because the look from
yeah.
somebody, and it's so funny that Christina said they're young people. I know a couple of guys from Syria, maybe 20, 21. And they could not be more happier to be over here in the USA, you know. And like you said, Christina, they're not just coming over here for the heck of it, you know. They fighting for their lives, you know. So
yeah.
it's good
mm-hmm.
that some of them have families in the U.S. that they can come and seek refuge. So I say let them come on over.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that, you know, I agree, because these people, I feel like once we can get the refugees out, the military, if they feel the force that they need to move in, they can kick the militants that are not there for the people out. Because right now it's like neighborhood against neighborhood. Like people
mm-hmm,
are just going
mm-hmm.
crazy. There's
mm-hmm.
not even resources over there. It's just crumble and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's
they
no more towns.
For their life. Yeah.
It literally is.
Mm-hmm.
It's fighting for scraps of food, fighting for their lives, mm-hmm. and the government is really doing nothing to help anybody. And now that ISIS is over there, it's really done kind of screwed
yeah.
it up. It's really sad. It's really sad that the kids
it
have
is.
To go through this. And I was reading an article about, you know, what the parents have to tell their children that, you know, that have lived to see the whole war over there. And some of the children that are young as 5, they don't even know what it's like to go to sleep at night without hearing bombs.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, they don't understand how people die of natural causes, because everybody
mm-hmm.
over there has been dying by force or by murder.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand those kinds of things, and it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Really
I feel
sad.
Like I'm shocked that there's nowhere – I'm shocked that there's nowhere that we know of in this world where refugees can go and get a fresh start. You know what I mean? But
mm-hmm.
I feel like in a society and in a world where capitalism seems to be people's desire, you're not going to have people be thinking, unless if they all get really wealthy and they get miserable enough to a point where they realize, you know, that there's more to life than having power and money. You don't have people, most people just automatically think to themselves, how can we share what we have? How can we make a difference and the world and in children's lives? Most people are just trying to survive, you know what I mean? So the question is, like, if we do bring them here, because obviously I don't believe they need to stay in the situation that they're in, but we do bring them here, what are we going to do? You know what I mean? Like, I don't see America wanting to care for a lot of the kids in our own country. You know what I mean?
That's
so what
true,
makes
true.
Us think that they're going to care for these people when we bring them in? Or they're not just going to try
mm-hmm.
to ship them, you know, send them back?
And, you know,
yeah.
Sonny, I think a lot of time when somebody thinks Islamic, I think we, you know, I won't say we, I think a lot of people immediately assume terror. And,
mm-hmm.
Again, I've been around some of these folks from Syria, and they're peaceful. They have a new lease on life. They not about all that, you know, because they're living it over
right.
there. You know, so
right.
they're not bad people. You know, I actually think they're some of the nicest people that you could probably help
yeah.
me. You know, and I had
right.
a chance to talk with a young guy from Syria. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
his face lit up just to be over here in the USA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can finally breathe. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I just feel like a lot of people in, you know, lucky countries like the United States or, you know, France or even Mexico in some areas, I just believe that a lot of people are just uneducated of what's going on. They really don't know what's going on. They only know what the media is saying or what the TV is saying because they're not taking the time to go look at other resources or other media in other countries or other newspapers in other countries that's published. And so they're really uneducated. Therefore, they're making uneducated decisions and sort of being biased with their point of views.
Or also people do know the truth and they either don't care or they don't know what's or they're overwhelmed by it or they don't know what to do. Because honestly, it takes either everybody deciding they're going to bring a child in. But if that's the case, I also because like I said, I do believe something needs to be done. But I also equally believe that we need to do something about what's happening to children here. So I don't know how they're going to do that because for some reason people don't know how to handle two things at once. So it's like you either have to choose, do we want to take care of the children in Syria or do we want to, or the people in Syria or do we want to take care of the people in our own country? For some reason, we don't know how to do both, and that, like, that baffles me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a deep situation.
So, yeah.
It is.
We want to know your thoughts on this, everyone. Like, what are your thoughts? How do you think that we should handle the situation with the people there? Do you feel like we should bring them in? Do you feel that, you know, they should stay where they are? Do you feel that there should be another country they should go to? What do you feel should be done in the situation and how to best help the people of Syria, the innocent people of Syria who are getting hurt?
Mm-hmm.
All right, Christina, so what is the second topic that you have for us tonight? We got about 7 minutes left in our segment.
Well, good, because that's about all the time we need to talk about Kim Kardashian's booty. So my second topic is Kim Kardashian's booty. recently, as you know, Kim Kardashian has her own app. She actually gets on there and she's kind of live and talking to her fans. No, I don't have the app, so I don't exactly know how it's used. But after reading several articles, I did get the snippets of video of her talking about why she gets butt injections. So she recently has admitted that she does get butt injections, but she gets them for psoriasis. She claims that they're cortisol shots, and she gets them because she has psoriasis on her legs. And the reason why this got brought up was because there was a photo of her in a blue dress in Miami, and she claims that the cortisone shots, which sometimes they can, even steroid shots can make indentions in your skin. She claims because in this dress the paparazzi took of her, she had an indention in her derriere, and that made people wonder if she had butt implants. But my thing is, people have been wondering this for like 10, 12, so many years. It's not just recently. And to me, a woman that has a little bit of dimples in the booty just means that it's real. It's when you don't have flaws that people question it. But I just wanted to see, what do you guys think? Because she's saying that she only has cortisone butt injections like once every couple years, you know, for her psoriasis, and that she denies having any kind of surgeries after the birth of her son.
I'll just say that anyone who's known for their looks will more than likely give in to the pressure to get plastic surgery, and not just once, but continuously, because that's how they start making their living. That's what people know them by. And so when everybody gets all shocked when people admit things, and I'm not going to put a whole bunch of people's names on blast because that's unnecessary, but think about it. The person is known for what they look like, then I believe that they're more guaranteed to give in to plastic surgery and cosmetic surgery.
Yeah.
So it's not
and she has the money to do it as well. So, I mean, that's
it's like
even easier access.
Yeah, like obviously, yes, I believe in contouring and all those things, but when you take your makeup off and you still look different than how you looked before and your body and things look different than before, you know, everybody can keep saying that they went to the gym and all this stuff all they want to and their waist cinchers and their Photoshop, which I'm sure all of that is true, but they also get some help too. You know, I didn't know that, you know, that people got those kind of shots, cortisol shots first to rise. I had no idea. So I didn't even know how those two correlate with each other. But, you know, if that's what she says, then it is.
I say just take your lazy butt to the gym and work out. Stop trying to always find the fast way out. Just go to the gym. Like everybody else. Hey, I'm going to just tell you how my grandmother used to tell me. If God ain't want you to have if he wanted you to have it, he would have gave it to you. You understand what I'm saying? And if you need to go get it, go get your butt to the gym and stop being lazy. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I just find it
go ahead,
funny
Christina.
Because later on during that, you know, show where she came out about the cortisone shots, which with psoriasis anyway, by the way, you can get it reduced, you know, kind of have the flare-ups minimized by either taking pills, doing a cream, you know, direct contact on the skin, or doing cortisone shots. But not all cortisone shots have to be done in the butt, first of all. So she could have picked her arm or another place. But outside of that, she did say that her hands were looking kind of old, so she wanted to get laser surgery on her hands to make them look more youthful. And my thing was, if this is someone who's getting stretch marks lasered off of her breast, you know, several years ago, and this is also someone who said that she wants to get laser on her hands because they're looking old, what makes people not think that she wouldn't go a little bit more extreme with the whole she might have got a tummy tuck thing or lasering on her stomach after her son and this and that. And I do agree with Sade. She's someone that is in the spotlight and someone that people want to see on magazines, blah, 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 elsewhere. So maybe she does feel like she has to keep up with the Kardashians as being herself with the plastic surgery and elsewhere.
Yeah,
but
ridiculous.
As a woman, I do love the other women that's on social media, such as one of the ladies, Mimi. I don't know if you guys follow her on Instagram or not, but she's hilarious. And she recently got surgery as well to her backside and breast implants, and she admits it all the time and jokes about it. I think women like that are, you know, powerful and empowering women because they're not lying about it. They're saying, hey, I look like this. I didn't want to look like that. I had the money to do this, so this is what I did. But the people that are hiding it, you're giving a bad body image to women, thinking if they drink this fit tea or, like Sade said, wear this weight cincher, that I'm going to look like this, because it's false advertising. It's not. It's like if you have $50,000, you can look like this, and then you can drink your tea on a porch. No.
Well, I definitely agree with that. But on the other hand, too, I just feel like nowadays, like, people don't understand. You are supposed to age. It's a part of life. Everybody's not supposed to stay the same age. Like, yes, I look young, but I'm not trying to look young. I just happen to look young. And maybe I will always look young like this, and maybe I won't. But it's not about always what I look like on the outside. Like,
yeah, that's because you take care of yourself, Charlie.
But still, it's like that's not the most important thing. You know what I mean? It's like
I
look like on the outside is just a reflection of my inner beauty. But I just think it's, I don't know, I just feel like people nowadays, they just don't understand aging is a part of life. I get so excited when I see beautiful older women who have not gotten Botox, who have not gotten tons of stuff done.
Exactly.
And you're like, man, you're aging so gracefully. You look amazing, and it's super inspiring, you know. And so I always enjoy talking with you guys. We could go on, and we're going to be having another what's going on special on the Sade Champagne show soon. We'll get it figured out in the schedule so we can talk away about more of these juicy topics. Thank you so much to Dick Chronicles and to Christina Renee. Next up, we are introducing a brand new segment to the Sade Champagne show this season. Say what? This is where I feature clips from some of my favorite inspirational speakers. These are spiritual and grace-based clips that reflect my faith and what I believe. These speakers have all brought great hope, encouragement, empowerment, and healing to my life and thousands upon thousands of other people all around the world. Tonight, we have a repeat of The Proof That You Matter, from Greg Henry. Hashtag say what to join in the conversation. And right after that, we're going into a song break with Crystal Myers, Make Some Noise. You're listening to the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. Say what?
But one of the things that the wisdom of the world does is what can happen in the heart of the human being is that we all desire to find evidence or proof of our significance. We all desire to find our lives born from the place where we can believe that we matter to people, or that we've made a difference in somebody's life, or that because we've made a difference in somebody's life, that can be the evidence that our lives are significant, or that we have value in our lives. So we're always looking to see, did I make a difference in this world? Did I make a difference in people's lives here? Did I do something that my life mattered, that meant that my life mattered? It's like we're always looking around wanting to believe that we've actually done something that mattered in this world, that mattered to people. Now, this is a subtle trap, guys, that can keep us on the hamster wheel of life. Will we always be laboring and in bondage to try to do something that can convince us that we are of significance, or that we can do something that can convince us that we matter in this world? Well, listen, man, the evidence that you are significant, or the evidence that you matter, or the evidence that your life is of value, is found in the fact that the Father of all glory, the Father of lights, God Almighty Himself, has spoken a word in Jesus to each one of you that He couldn't envision eternity without you. And so you matter to Him. You make a difference in His life. Glory to God. Your significance is defined by the one who couldn't see His life without you. And so if you want to know if you're significant, or if your life matters, or if you have value, don't look for it in the things in this world. Don't even look for it in your personal relationships. But look for it in the one, or from the one that has spoken a word about you in Jesus, that says to you, you matter to Him. That you're significant to Him. That you have value to Him. Not because of what you can do for Him, but because of the life He envisioned being able to share with you. Where He could be Father to you, and you could be son or daughter to Him, and He could serve you with His life. Glory to God. You see, and what can happen is, you know, we say it's only men that will have the midlife crisis, right? Where we get to the point, we look around, and we think, what did it all matter? Did I even do anything? But I think that happens to every human being, and we're always looking to find evidence of our significance. You need look no further for evidence of your significance than Jesus, who represents what the Father thinks about you in heaven. And in the same way God couldn't see His life without Jesus seated on His right hand, God can't see His life without you seated at His right hand. Therein is the proof that you matter. Therein is the proof that you have significance, that you have value. It's found from what God has said about you. Glory to God. You see, once that can get in your heart, you can be set free from all the lies that the world tries to tell you about who you are. And then you can walk through life with a smile on your face, living from passion instead of living in bondage to a system of always trying to do something that can be good enough that you can say, ah, now I have value. Look what I've done. That's bondage, man. That's a life of bondage. That's a life of laboring and toiling, trying to live by the sweat of your brow. That's what God told Adam was a cursed life. It's a cursed life, guys, to try to do something to prove your significance or your value or your worth. It's a much better life to just rest in the fact that you mean so much to the Father in heaven that you'll spend the rest of your days here trying to wrap your mind around His good opinion of you, and you'll be so blown away by His good opinion of you when you stand face to face with Him, and you think you're going to be blinded by His glory, but when you find that the glory that shines out of Him towards you also comes shining out of you towards Him, it's going to blow your mind, and you're going to be so overcome with His love that tears of joy will come down your face, and you'll say, my goodness, I am significant. My goodness, I do have value. Hallelujah. I do matter. I mean, what better person is there to matter to than God, right?
Welcome to Season 2 of the Sade Champagne Show on Grindhard Radio. We are an inspirational entertainment and music-based talk show with interchanging segments on wellness, health, fashion, entrepreneurship, dream building, spirituality, charities, and other fascinating topics. We interview special guests and celebrities each week, play music from my favorite artists, and engage with our listeners through Q&As, contests, and much more. We are not afraid to push the envelope and challenge traditional thinking. Every episode is different than the one before, and we are committed to bringing the highest quality content that is sure to entertain, empower, and encourage. We look forward to having you with us every Wednesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Grindhard Radio.
Afraid to dream, but when it all goes wrong, we're not afraid to scream, 'cause the future not the enemy. You might be surprised on the hypocrisy to open up our eyes. We don't need your rules, don't need a uniform. This is who we are, we won't be ignored. Cause the future now is all that remains. Oh, oh, shout it out. Just like, cause we like it loud. We were born to make some noise. Don't tell me we should turn.
Musical artist, performer, host, or inspirational speaker for your next event? What about a mentor, vocal instructor, or workshop leader for your school, company, or seminar? Contact Sade Champagne for countless professional services that are sure to fit your particular need. She is an in-demand, award-winning, and critically acclaimed musical artist, performer, inspirational speaker, and entrepreneur who is invited all around the world. She is known for having a powerful voice, turning ideas into action, creating, directing, and executive producing popular charitable and inspirational events, and bringing out the gold in others. Her services are for all ages, backgrounds, and environments. Contact Sade Champagne at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's Sade Champagne Music at gmail.com to book her for your next event or project.
Hi, you're tuned in to Grind Hard Radio. This is Ayokunle Falomo from the Sharing Your Story segment on the Sade Champagne Show. Keep listening.
Welcome back to the Sade Champagne Show on Grind Hard Radio. This is a brand new segment on my show, Entrepreneurs on the Move. This is where I feature rising entrepreneurs, creators, and innovators who are changing up the game, inspiring others, and making bold moves. Our entrepreneur on the move for tonight's show is my dear friend, Kalila Nelson. Kalila Nelson is a professional dancer that has grown up training in dance styles such as ballet, jazz, tap, hip-hop, contemporary, and acrobatics. She began performing at age 6 and has performed in over 300 shows and venues. She has received various scholarships from dance conventions such as LA Dance Magic, Tremaine, and more. In 2010, she had an amazing opportunity to work with choreographers Mia Michaels and Sonia Taye from So You Think You Can Dance on a piece that she performed in at the Pulse On Tour. She has also trained privately with both Shane Sparks and contestant Danielle Jones from So You Think You Can Dance Season 2. Receiving a full scholarship allowed her to train for a year at the prestigious Idlewild Arts Academy, which gave her the opportunity to continue her training. Upon returning from Idlewild, Kalila became a professional dancer and has been seen throughout Southern California at many Hollywood venues. She has worked with Shane Sparks to make her first music video and is the winner of my 5th annual Rising Star Dance Competition. In 2015, she was the lead actress in Classy Girl by Race and a principal dancer in Running Free by Lacey Kay, which was just nominated for a music video award. You can check out both of these music videos on YouTube. She has a thriving company we're going to talk about tonight that I attend and love called KPAC, a.k.a. Kalila's Performing Arts Center in Ventura. Hashtag entrepreneurs on a move to join in the conversation and ask us questions. Hey, Kalila, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you?
We're so glad to have you on the show. I'm doing very well. So what does being an entrepreneur mean to you?
To me, it just means, obviously, getting to know my customers. That is one of the main things I really like about it, is that you become friends with people that you teach. And, yeah, that is my favorite part about it.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And so tell us about your company, KPAC, also known as Kalila's Performing Arts Center in Ventura, and how it came to be.
So when I was 18, I decided I wanted to open up a dance studio. So I actually started it in my garage, and I started out with kids that lived in our neighborhood. And then they told their friends, and everyone started coming, and we danced in our garage, and we started putting on our shows, and everyone had a really good time with those. So I was in my garage for about a year, and then after that I found a place that's actually down the street from where I live, so it's very convenient. And we were in that building for a little while, and then it started getting too small, so about 3 months later we moved up one more size, and that's now where we currently are.
And so what are some of the different types of classes that people can take at your center?
So we have jazz, which is kind of, it's very funky, and it's learning different techniques that are brought in from ballet, which is also very technical. Those two really combine together as one. And then we also have hip hop, which is what you usually see in music videos, or a lot of kids are into hip hop because that's the big thing nowadays. And then we also have tap, which is, you know, the tap shoes and all that. And then there's also acrobatics, which is like the main one everyone is very into. It's the front walkovers and the back handsprings and learning how to do aerials. So we're very diverse. I teach every single class, so I use my training in that way to teach the kids.
And what I love, you know, because you guys know I started back dancing 16 weeks ago, and this summer I started training at KPAC, and I really enjoy working with Kalila, and I feel her heart. You know, she's a patient instructor, very positive, fun atmosphere, you know, and it's somewhere that I really enjoy. And I'm inspired by her because, as she mentioned to you guys, she was only 18 when she started her own company, and she started in her garage. And so I feel like that's an encouragement. And with kids in our own neighborhood, that's an encouragement to the importance of using what you have right where you are. And you notice, as she talked about, she continued to grow and expand from there until, you know, she's doing this now. And she didn't mention this, but I'll mention it. Not only is she training, you know, she trains all the classes at her studio, but she gets invited to train at other studios and schools all over the place. And so she's, you know, using her entrepreneurial skills in multiple different ways. And so with that being said, Kalila, how do you stay confident while working in industries that have been known to tear people down?
Well, that I actually struggled with when I was younger. It's very hard because people are definitely judgmental, and you're in the limelight constantly, especially with the social media. And at first I was kind of having a hard time with it, and people would, you know, make rude comments or constantly just talk bad about me or talk bad about other people, and I really just am not into that. And then it was probably like a year or two ago where I basically decided that nobody's opinion that was negative mattered unless it was constructive criticism. So ever since I decided that, it's just been a smooth ride since there.
That's really good. Really good. And so what are words of encouragement and wisdom you would give to other up-and-coming entrepreneurs, dancers, instructors, and choreographers?
I would tell them that just make sure you're doing stuff for yourself and for the people around you and not letting other people's opinions bother what you want to do, because I always stick to what I want to do and it either works out or it doesn't. And most of the time it does work out because you just kind of go with your instinct. And I would just say, don't give up. I've had a couple times where I've thought about closing my studio because we're having a hard time with people continuing classes and then coming back and leaving and coming back. And I just keep it going because I know that it'll keep going. It'll keep growing as time goes on. So there will be hard times, but it'll always work out.
Mm-hmm. And what words of encouragement would you give to other instructors and choreographers? Because you and I have talked about this before. Sometimes it can be challenging when you're wanting to teach people, but they don't seem passionate. And so when an instructor or choreographer is getting frustrated when they're teaching students who don't seem passionate or who want it, what words of encouragement would you share with that instructor?
I would say to keep encouraging the person that seems like they're not that interested or into it, because it might just be a phase. Sometimes people really don't like doing something, and then 2 weeks from then, they really like doing it. So in the moment, I just try not to get frustrated. I just leave it as it is, and I tell myself that this is where they're at today, and it could be completely mm-hmm. different the next week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Definitely. That's like you say, because encouraging them is huge, because even though they may be feeling like that right now, it doesn't mean they're always going to stay that way.
Right.
And what are you currently working on? And please tell everyone how they can stay updated with your happenings and how they can find out more about KPAC and get involved.
So we have a Facebook page, which is under KPAC Dance Ventura, and our Instagram is the same. It's the same name for everything. That is our website. And we keep everything posted on there. The thing we're currently working on is our December show, and our theme for that is national holidays. So each class mm-hmm. is assigned a different holiday or a national day throughout the year, and that's what their class is doing. And mm-hmm. I believe we are having our show on December 10th, and it will mm-hmm. be at Balboa Middle School.
Awesome. Well, we want to thank you so much for being on the Sade Champagne show tonight. Do you want to make any shout-outs or anything like that or any final words you'd like to share?
I just want to thank everyone for listening and keep on doing what you're doing. If you want to start a business, don't be afraid to, because it sounds scary, but once you get into it, you don't look back.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Kalila. And once again, guys, she's telling you as someone who understands. She hasn't had it peachy and easy and starting following her dreams, but she continues to move forward, and I'm inspired by her, and she's an amazing and powerful young woman. I want to thank you so much for being on the show, Kalila, and I will see you on Friday at class.
All right. Thank you so much, Sade. See you
later.
Have
a good night.
You too. Bye.
Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and sharing my radio show. Next week, we have a very special surprise guest that I'm not going to announce to you guys just yet, but you will find out soon. We also have a brand new Sharing Your Story with Aya Kunle segment. Thanks to Grindheart Radio for the opportunity to create my own radio show. I want to thank Travis Miller for creating and producing my theme song, and to Scott Swish for mixing the song. Thanks to my special guests, Jay Figg, Kalila Nelson, and Jit Chronicles. Thanks to my castmate, Christina Renee. Our final song of the night is Kevin Roth with Don't Say You Will, featuring T.I. Thanks for listening to my radio show, the Sade Champagne Show, and we'll see you next Wednesday from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time right here on Grindheart Radio.
Why would she make a call? holds out the blue. Now I'm awake, sleep isn't new. Yeah. Crash lands in my room. I can't waste no time. She might leave soon. So loud, you ain't listening to me. She say, I can only be the way you made me to be.
Oh, yeah.
I say, goddamn, shawty, you must take me for sleep. I would take a bullet for you, body lay in the street. Number love in my blood as it drained in the street. So I could be as bad as you paid me to be. Why she lie to me and she ain't got a reason to lie? Why she turn away and she won't let me look in her eye? What we doing from the beginning, is it worth it to try? If I answer that, I'd just be pulling pie out the sky. Hey, why you used to tell me all you needed me and that's it.
Remember that.
Now with me and you, it's either that or it's this. Hey, I still can't lie though. The only love I know.
Said I know.
Releasing the stress. We were born to shine.